We wrote the books, Secrets of Aboriginal Healing, at the request of the Aboriginal people. And I was really shocked to see that that book, it's now in 45 countries. It just resonates with people. They can feel when it feels right, when it feels true.
Robbie Holtz, Holtz Wellness. The whole point is to thrive in body, mind, and spirit. I talked with Robbie years ago about her experience with Aboriginal healing. And I wanted to reconnect because right now, healing through various means of, in terms of the abstract way we look at healing, not going through Western medicine, that's helpful, but going through how your mind, what you're thinking, your thoughts, your soul, your spirit, all of that factors in. And Robbie is an excellent example. I also wanted to say, last time we spoke, when we were dealing with the Aboriginal aspect, that morning I heard, laying in bed, in the pillow, someone said my name, and it was clear, it was crisp, feminine voice, female, Wendy. And it was like, oh my gosh. So I felt that was my connection and kind of a signing off, because they are so telepathic and that's how they work, that it was, you know, kind of an affirmation of what we were talking about. I have that same sense today, and you have done so much since then. I wanted to catch up and just give you a chance to say, here I am. Look what's new. How's that?
I love it. I love it. I love that you got that Wendy. Yes. That, yeah. You know, there's, yeah. You know, piercing through the veil. That's awesome. Yeah. That's cool. Yeah. Now there's a lot. I mean, I think both of us, there's a lot that's been going on since we last talked, but that's probably true for the planet as well. I think what I've became more aware of is how to really connect to the other side of the veil, and you really develop a stronger connection to my guardian angels and my spirit guides, and working with Gary, who's deceased, on the other side, and Aboriginal healers, that sort of thing, and really sort of showing people how it makes a huge difference when you allow them to help you, but they can't really step in unless we ask, because it's a free will planet, and we learn a lot from our pain. Is a very powerful teacher. There's no doubt about that. But when we allow them to assist us by asking, it is a huge game changer. That's really what I am, the message I've been trying to get people to wake up to is, yes, you can do it on your own. That's fine. But why would you want to do that when you have someone walking by your side 24/7 who loves you beyond your comprehension and has the ability to help you tremendously if you just reach out and ask?
Okay, that's what I want to tap into now too. So for anyone who isn't familiar with how this works and what happened with you and Gary, this is a great mm-hmm. setup to lay the foundation for your experience and your connection. So if you could recap for us what happened with you and Gary.
Gary went into the outback and he had this amazing experience with the Aboriginal people, and they gave their healing modalities and this ancient wisdom to him, because they said that it was time to get it out into the world, because we didn't really understand how healing worked, especially Western medicine, about how the mind was very involved, the soul was very involved. And so he came back dramatically transformed from that experience in the outback and ended up using what they taught him. It's really what we would call psychoneuroimmunology, how the mind affects the body and how the body can respond to the mind's emotions and thoughts and directions. And so we wrote the book, Secrets of Aboriginal Healing, at the request of the Aboriginal people. And I was really shocked, Wendy, to see that that book has, it's now in 45 countries. It just resonates with people. They can feel when it feels right, when it feels true. And so then he came back from the outback and started doing what the Aboriginal people had taught him, where he could become telepathic to people's thoughts. He could see inside the body. He could see auras. He could see energies. He could see the spirit guides and angels around people and start communicating with them and really develop that. And I have to say, you know, I married him after he came back from the outback, and he was so incredibly gifted. I didn't develop those gifts in myself because it was so easy to just trot over to Gary and ask him those questions, right? And
cheating, why, yeah, you know,
yeah. Yeah, I know. So, but when he passed in 2007, and we knew he was going to pass, they told us that he was going to be leaving, and he passed in 2007. What I didn't expect was that he would show up every morning at exactly 8 o'clock, and that sort of woke me up to, first of all, recognizing his energy pattern and what that looked like, and started communicating with him. I'm sure it was very primitive in the beginning. I was using his ring on a chain to, you know, like a pendulum. Uh-huh. And it started developing over time to the point where I was able to communicate to him and to the other side of the veil and really develop a relationship where they could communicate to me. I became sort of what I would consider the human member of a healing team, where I worked with an amazing team from the other side that included archangels and Gary and Aboriginal healers, and different spirit guides would come in depending on who I was working with. And I would work with people all over the world remotely. And then I just kept developing that ability. And then what they wanted me to shift into next is they asked me, the other side of the veil asked me to put out a couple books on how anybody can do this. Anybody can, we're designed to be able to communicate. We're designed to be able to feel this guidance. Everybody does it differently. And so I put it all together in two different books. One is more for mainstream, Angels in Waiting. It talks about different, I think, fascinating examples of people who came to me and, you know, how they developed different abilities, how the angels worked with them. But the more, I think probably what your listeners are more tuned, would be more tuned into is the Vibrant Living. It's a 60-day guidebook with like a page or two for each day. Just here's the bullet points. Here's how you do this. Here's how you communicate to them. Here's how you really increase your ability to communicate to them, to raise that vibration, raise that frequency, because we're doing it constantly. And the higher your frequency and vibration, the easier it is to communicate. And we're doing it, we're raising it or lowering it with what we're eating, listening to, watching, people were around. And so the book gives all of that information so that you can start developing this really awesome connection and relationship with your guardian angel who is with you always, and start not only developing that relationship, but start utilizing their tremendous help. And the guardian angels are the easiest to communicate with. They're with us 24/7. We don't outgrow them. They're always there, and they love us. We can't even begin to imagine how much they love us. And they really want to help, and they can do tremendous assistance when we ask, because it's a free will planet. They're not going to just step in. And they also have to have permission from the soul's intention. What does the soul intend, you know? But it's tremendous. To me, it's a huge game changer. I can't even imagine, just as an example, I was doing a lot of consultations, and the books were taken off, and life just kind of exploded on me. And I'm like, I don't know how to deal with all this. It's a lot. And I want to be of service and help people, but it's just too much. So I just handed it over to my team and said, well, guide me through this. You help me. So they said, close the office down for today and go for a walk. So I did. The next day, they're like, get rid of this. You don't need that. You don't need to do this. Go to this conference, but don't do this one. They just guided me. And we all have that connection, that intuitive guidance. That's our GPS, that intuition. And I handed it over to them. And so since then, they have guided me on to have a balanced life, because, you know, you don't need to be doing this if you're harming yourself. That's not the right way to do it. You want to do it with love. And that includes balance. So they guided me on where to put my energy, where to put my time. You know, it's just made a huge difference. And it creates balance, which creates health and a stronger connection to them.
In our society, there's a push, a drive that you're supposed to be successful by doing, always busy, always doing something. The list of things that you have to do is, you know, from here to the end of the year. And how mm-hmm. do you, that's one thing that I hear in you talking to your guides and the information you got. What was the easiest thing to, I guess, remove or eliminate?
Well, I think there's fear that you need to be doing things, right? You need to be doing this. You need to be doing that. I need to be buying this advertising. I need to be buying into whatever. And what I realized is that just needs to go. That's old programming that is leaving the planet, right? Any fear-based needs to leave the planet, and it is leaving the planet. And I think we're also seeing out in the culture how the younger people are not willing to be slave driven like we were. And, you know, so possessed by the materiality and working so many long, hard hours and not having the balance with home. So by letting them guide me, they just took off half the stuff on my desk and said, throw it out. You don't need it. And just following their guidance, that intuition. Everybody is intuitive. Everybody is clairsentient, where you just feel with that gut, that instinct, right?
Yeah.
You know in 3 seconds. You know in 3 seconds in your gut what the answer is, or whether it's a yes or a no. If you got to go longer than that, that's when the mind chimes in and does its thing. And the key is to recognize the difference between the mind with its programming and its fears versus this internal knowing, which is love-based. It just feels right. That's the key. So you start tuning into that more. You start turning into that clairsentience more. Does it feel right? You'll get more clarity when you get quiet, which is why a lot of us get answers. I mean, this is silly, but I used to get answers when I went to the bathroom. People would ask me, what'd you get, right, when I came out, because I was quiet for a minute,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Otherwise, I'm...
The shower works, too, yeah.
Exactly, just being around water. But, you know, you get these messages during the night when you first wake up in the morning. It just feels different, and it's because the mind is not engaged. That it's a stronger knowing.
Yeah.
So not everybody, I think, and this is what I explained in the Vibrant Living book, is that not everybody is wired or programmed to be able to see them or hear them. So just because you decide to start communicating with them and working with them doesn't mean that you can dictate how they're going to appear and when they're going to appear. But they will start sending, if you tend to be more, where you listen to music a lot, they'll pop lyrics in your head. Or something will pop up on your Pandora, and it's exactly what you needed to hear. And then, or maybe you're more visual, so you might see a truck go by that says "We're out of this world" or whatever, you know, or a billboard or something. But most people are not clairaudient, where they hear, or also the visual. But everybody is clairsentient, where you feel mm-hmm. with your body. So you start recognizing, is this coming from a place of love or is it coming from a place of fear? Because if it's fear, it's the mind. The mind will tell you, you have to, you should, you need to. And the guides will say, it's coming from love. Do it because it feels right. Do it because there's love behind it. That's the difference.
Oh, there's a guilt trip with that. If it feels good, it's like, uh-oh, you're not supposed to feel good. No, it's supposed to be painful. It's supposed to hurt.
Yes.
Yeah, it's like, oh, that's drama.
And, you know, and I was raised very deliberately. I incarnated into a family of Catholics because they are so good. They're masters of guilt. Mm. And so I needed to learn about guilt because guilt is, it's so interesting when you talk to the guides about, or angels about this, they just see guilt as a really useless emotion that doesn't serve us at all. And it's quite harmful. It's one of the most toxic, shame, guilt, self-hatred, those are the most toxic emotions for the body. And so guilt is really just mind programming. It's mind fear. And so that's where you start having an awareness of, oh, it's just the way I've been raised. It's the conditioning of the culture. But it's time to let that go. And wherever your fears are, Wendy, whatever your fears are, whatever you tend to obsess about fearfully, that's what's going to show up on your plate. Because these are lifetimes where we clear out that stuff. It's like getting rid of the dust bunnies under the bed. It's time to clear it out. So what fears, and whatever your biggest fears are, they will show up. I give this example of, I lost a dear family member that I just truly adored to cancer from smoking. Then I got really upset with the tobacco companies who were putting out an addictive product, and I got upset with the rest of my family members who were smoking, feeling a lot of fear, I'm going to lose you guys too. Mm-hmm. So what happened was I kept being surrounded by smokers, couldn't seem to get away from them, right? Until I finally realized, okay, this is here to teach me to let go of this fear. So I finally realized, okay, I may not like it, but I accept that everybody's here learning in the way that they're learning at the pace and in the way that works for them best. And some people are learning about what happens when you nurture the body and what happens when you don't. And that's just the method on this earth school. And so my job is to just have acceptance and not try to control it, because that's fear again, right? That's
right.
The mind trying to control it. Let them have their cigarettes. That's their experience. My experience is to just be accepting and loving. And when I did that, the smokers went away. I didn't need it as a lesson anymore. So I had kind of graduated from that classroom. Now, trust me, I've been in a lot of classrooms and remain in many classrooms, but it's like that classroom is to help me let go of that fear. So when you ask for help from your guides and angels, thank you for, because the mind, a lot of times we know we're doing this and we know we're sabotaging, but we don't know how to get over it and stop it. So what you do is you hand it over to them. Thank, and you focus on what you want. So you're saying, thank you for helping me release this. And thank you for helping me open to love and acceptance. Now they have permission, and I guarantee every soul is going to be on board with this one, because you're moving out of fear and you're moving into love. Then they have permission to help you let go of that. So now they can give you awareness. So things crop up in front of you or in, around you or with people, your family, your workers, whatever, to show you what's happening, give you that awareness. And then they start surging you with energy of acceptance, of love, or forgiveness, whatever. And they start giving you these examples. They start shifting you so that you're not doing it alone. You're doing it with their help. And it is so much easier when you allow them to help you gain those insights, those aha moments, and shift out of this stuff and shift more into love. And it not only affects and helps you, it affects the collective, it affects the planet, it affects everyone. So these are things that they love helping us with. We just simply have to ask. And all you have to do, it is this simple, Wendy, I swear to you, our minds try to complicate it. You simply ask in your mind once, thank you for helping me let go of this and open up to love or acceptance or whatever. Thank you. And then you don't know how, and I give the example of like the dog hanging out the car window. It's excited, right? But it's not trying to control the wheel because it knows whoever's behind that steering wheel has their best interest at heart and loves them and knows how to get them where they need to go. So that dog is curious and excited, but it's not trying to grab the wheel. And that's what I recommend is hand it over to them, let them take you, guide you, and you be like that dog hanging out the window, excited and curious, and let them bring you what you need. And they will give you pop quizzes, right? And it helps to know this is a pop quiz. Am I going to go into fear? Or am I going to go into even just shifting into neutral, right? That makes, and they help you, they make it easier for you. Again, those ahas, those surges of energy, also releasing this stuff from you, it changes quite dramatically. And once you start seeing that, it's like, oh my gosh, this is so much easier. And we're all designed to have that help. That's why we have guardian angels with us 24/7. They're there, yes, to guard you and protect you and make sure that you don't experience things your soul doesn't intend for you to experience. But they're also here to give us tremendous power. And they've told me that it's like going, and I think I wrote this in the, I'm sure I wrote it in the book because my co-writer kept sending it back to me changed. And it's like, no, this is true. It's like you're operating on your own at like 50 amps of power. When you ask for help from your guardian angel, now suddenly you're operating at like 5,000 amps of power. Why would you not ask for their help? And some people are afraid, well, what if I end up with, evil or dark entities that are helping me. And I think that they're, you know, angels, but they're not. If you don't play in those alleys, you're not going to be bringing that to you, you know? And so you will just, it's operated out of love. It feels different. And it's such an, and here's the cool part, Wendy, I love this. Because they're serving us out of tremendous love, every time we allow them to help us and every time we grow through their help, that allows them to grow. So it's this symbiotic relationship. We allow them to help us. It allows them to grow and also grow in love. So it's this beautiful relationship between us. And we were designed to have this help. And I think this kind of information is coming out more and more all the time because it's very empowering. Yes, you still have free will. You don't have to do what they want you to do. And there's been times when I haven't, like I've asked them to help me lose some weight or to eat healthier or whatever. And I found myself eating out of a bag of something I shouldn't have been eating out of. And I knew that, right? But I was like, yeah, I'm going to do it anyway. And then all of a sudden I accidentally, quote unquote, dropped the bag and it just spills all over the kitchen floor. I'm like, okay, I get it. Thank you. I shouldn't be eating out of this, but I can pick the bag up or get another one. But it's kind of like, nah, I get it. I've asked you to help and you're helping me.
Yeah. Yeah, there's a stopping and starting sometimes when you're beginning to get the feel for this, and you, I think you addressed that when you talk about the house that you wanted to buy. Really, really wanted a house, and it just wasn't happening. All sorts of interventions stopping and barriers, and then you switched and found a different house that worked even better.
Yes, yes. I mean, you can settle. You can decide at any time. When I needed to find a place, this happened a couple of times, I've handed it over to them. I hand over my finances, my social life, my work, all of it. And they guide me as to what is best for me because they know better than I do. And they had a house that my daughter-in-law had found for me up in the islands with them. And I thought, and they kept saying, well, we've got something better, but you know, you can take it, but we got something better. And I ended up waiting a couple of months when my daughter-in-law, who she's not into all of this. She's very science minded. She just couldn't understand why I was turning down all these great places. Well, it ended up that the place they had for me was the best of all of them. And I'm looking out my window now of the islands, the water, the mountains, the sailboats. It's like, it was over the top, right? What they had in mind for me. Mm-hmm. And they also knew to protect me with my energy and put me in a space that was very safe. So I let them guide me. And so that's how I ended up with this. And this has happened a couple times. Yeah. So synchronicities, pay attention to them. There's a reason. There's no accidents, you know, pay attention to it. And if you're not sure, tell them you're not sure. Make it very clear. And you'll start feeling it again, that those messages you get during the night or first thing in the morning or that gut response, you just start getting building up stronger and stronger. It's like learning a new language or a new sport or anything different. It's a little awkward in the beginning, but you start getting better and better and better at it. And knowing we are designed this way, we are designed to be communicating with the angel, with the, you know, especially the guardian angels. And that's why they asked me to write the Vibrant Living book, which is really about working with your guardian angel. Sometimes you have more than one, because they are designed to be the easiest to communicate to. Yes, you can go beyond that. And I go into that in Vibrant Living, how to work with spirit guides, how to work with people who have passed over. You're not keeping them from anything. You know, they can be in many places at the same time. Mm-hmm. So it's huge, because it was cut to the point where I can't keep doing consultations with everybody that's calling. And so they're like, well, put it in a book. Put all this information in a book. So that's what I've done with, especially Vibrant Living. Not just health and not just about healing, but also how to work with the other side to have a vibrant life in body, mind, spirit.
Do you have more information in regard to the paranormal aspect of that?
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. And how to work with, you know, how to recognize when your ancestors or your loved ones are communicating, how they commonly communicate. Also what was in that book, and this is, again, this was guided by my team, my spirit team, what they wanted in that book is recognizing your soul's intentions. What does your soul want you to master in this life? What is your soul desire? Because if you're going against what your soul desires, it's not going to be very smooth. It's not going to be very fulfilling. But if you can follow what your guide, what your soul intends for you, which is what the guardian angels and the spirit teams are doing, they have to get permission from the soul to do these things. If the soul says you're not ready to heal yet, then the guides can't come in and heal you until you learn the lesson behind that or whatever it is that's involved in that. So I also talk about how to recognize the soul's desire. And you know, it's as simple as saying, thank you for helping me live the highest vision of my soul. Boom, done. Thank you. Now they have permission to help you with that. Thank you for helping me open to what's in my best interest to open. Thank you for helping me release what's in my best interest to release. It is that simple. You can say it out loud. You can say it in your mind. They're telepathic. We don't need to complicate it.
You say you still connect with Gary. Is that something that's only 8 o'clock or when, how does that work? Okay.
That's a good question. He showed up at 8 for the longest time. And only one time was he off, and I think he did it on purpose. It was when we had the time change in the spring and he was exactly an hour off. But anyway, I always tease him about being so punctual. But so I do work with Gary, but I work with him mainly in the healing realm. He loves to work and help the healers. That's really, I think, one of his passions. And so I get a lot of emails from people who have called on him, who are healers, and he definitely responds to those. So I call him in, and I had to contain his energy to the office It's hard to have a relationship with someone else when there's three of us in that relationship.
And kind of complicated.
It's kind of complicated. And I found I had to get rid of that really nice bedspread that we had with him, because it just wasn't, you know, it's again, if you want a relationship, you have to kind of cut those cords. So he is, Gary, lovingly, is confined to the office. His energy is here. His ashes are here. His pictures are here. And he's part of the work that I do. But I had to tell him, Gary, we got to get you out of the social life. So your pictures are not going to be spread out all over the house like they were before.
Well, that people I have dealt with also have that same thing. The partner sometimes wants to be there to help the transition and say, you know, I'm rooting for you. But then the person who is still in this world has to figure out how to transition from having that partner there every day and understanding this needs to happen. And it's sometimes it's hard, the grief, you know, to hard to let go. But there is that transition that eventually the person who is in spirit form has to step back so that the person living can continue to work on their path and continue the journey.
Exactly. And that, where again, you can hand that over. Thank you for helping me release with love and gratitude and release the grief or whatever. They will help you do that. You can get there so much easier and so much more effectively with help from the other side, because again, they will download energies into you. They'll give you insights. They will release things off of you. I didn't know how to move on without him after he passed in 2007 physically. So it's been quite some time, and it was took a while before I was ready to open up to other relationships. But so I just kind of handed it over to him. Help me move through this. Help me best to do this. And so that's where I got very clearly, okay, take all the pictures and put them in the office. That's where we can find his energy and your connection to him. And so they gave me that. And also they helped me energetically move beyond and move through.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The visual is so important when we have things in our environment. It's an unconscious trigger. You're seeing the image and immediately we don't always recognize it, but it's somewhere resonating and then triggering that memory, that grief, that feeling, that emotion. And those things are huge. It's really stuff that's very subliminal and that we're so unconscious of, because most of us have lots of crowded environments. It's like, oh, I don't know what to rule out. I've got 50 billion things in here. They're all important. And like, okay, you might want to minimize just a tad, you know.
Well, and that's where they can help you develop a stronger mindfulness, more presence, so that you realize what needs to go, what's not really serving me at this moment. It's possible you may pick it up later down the road, but at this moment. And the Aboriginal people are very good about this too. They're really big on simplicity. And my guides have been very big on simplicity with me too, trying to get me to not, I mean, it's up to me whether I do or not. They don't have any negative emotions about any of it, but they have told me over and over, simplify your life. We tend to just, I mean, all the things we put in the ingredients in a recipe, they're like, it doesn't need to be that complicated. Simplify your life. And it is so much better. And so over time, you just start incorporating and become more mindful about that, more present, more conscious about it, and develop a higher consciousness about it. And I think that's a big thing, is we're sort of waking up to a consciousness about the programming and this cultural conditioning and recognizing, does it serve me? It may not anymore. So maybe it's time to let it go. And humans don't like change. We are not wired to want to change very easily. So that's where, again, thank you, my beautiful guides and angels, for helping me easily let go of this. It makes a big difference.
When you're saying thank you, basically that's gratitude. That's that sense of being appreciative of everything and gratitude.
Yes. And it's like handing it over. Again, they're like driving the car and I'm just curious and excited, not knowing how this is going to happen. Because a lot of times our mind will say, oh, we can't possibly get rid of that. I've been dealing with that forever, and I've never been able to let go of that. And I'm handing it over saying, I don't know how in the world you're going to break me of this habit or help me to release these types of emotions or this toxicity or this negativity. And I've handed over some really challenging things. And again, I'm like that dog. I'm excited and curious. And thank you for getting me there. And then I hand it over to them. My mind doesn't have to figure it out. I'm allowing them to guide me and take me there. That's the difference. So the mind, what is happening for most of us, Wendy, is we're asking our minds to to do things it was not intended to do. The mind doesn't know what the best career is. It doesn't know what the best relationship is. And we've seen what happens when the mind goes in that direction, because it tends to be fear-based. But the soul knows what the best relationship for you is and what the best career is and how to get there. So the mind is designed to be a tool, a very powerful tool designed to follow the inner guidance. But when the mind's trying to, quote unquote, figure it out, that's how you know it slipped up in behind the steering wheel again, right? Trying to control it, trying to figure it out rather than follow the guidance from a higher loving consciousness on how to get there. That's the difference. So you can say, thank you for helping me develop more trust in you and in me. Thank you for helping me develop my abilities to connect more easily with you and pick up on the guidance more easily and just calm down when I'm not getting what I want, knowing it'll come. You may be a little too frantic right now to feel the guidance, but it'll come when you need it. There's a divine timing to all of that.
Robbie Hulls, HullsWellness.com. A quick break. Robbie's website, HullsWellness.com. There's also an interest now in the indigenous cultures and their ways of healing, their views, their allowing of the body that knows what's wrong, or the soul that comes into the equation and says, this is where I need healing, and they tap into that.
And I think that's why these books are doing, the Aboriginal books are in, like I said, 45 countries, just doing phenomenal. And I was just telling my son yesterday, I'm like, for some reason, we are really big in Croatia. It just really fits them because they understand that the Aboriginal people have and I'm talking about the outback Aboriginals. They've really safeguarded themselves from quote unquote civilization. They understand, and they have passed this information on and this knowledge on for at least 60,000 years, and they've never lost their abilities. You know, like they've always been telepathic. They haven't lost that. When we started speaking, we lost that ability to connect to nature, to connect to water, to connect to herbs. And they've maintained that. And so what they have been doing is what we're starting to wake up to, the theta healing, the quantum, the psychoneuroimmunology. This is what they're doing, where they're telling us the emotions are very connected to the body. You can't separate them. And the emotions are telling you where you're getting stuck. And the body, if you still refuse to listen to those emotions that are negative and not healthy and create toxicity, then the body will show you, right? Because the body, where we tend to hold, for instance, grief in our chest area, if you continue to hold that there, you could potentially start developing problems there. And especially if you have a genetic weakness there, you are even more vulnerable. So you start recognizing what emotions are healthy and which ones are creating toxicity and problems for the body, and where this, and also, you know, the Aboriginals have taught us how, what Dr. Emoto's water experiments have shown us, that you create different cells depending on, is it love-based, is it fear-based, you know, the guilt is, it's just this clogging of different energy points throughout the system, and it also creates a different kind of cell. So it's like creating a swampy environment with just sort of malformed cells, whereas when you have, remember Dr. Emoto showed these beautiful snowflake symmetrical cells that were created with love-based emotions. So you're creating a different kind of cell, and you're also creating a different kind of response, a higher vibration in the body. And that when you have that higher vibration, it's like a free-flowing, beautiful, thriving river versus a swampy, lower vibrating frequency. And love is a higher vibrating frequency, and disease can't sustain in that love-based environment. And this is what the Aboriginals have been teaching us. If you align the body, the emotions, and the soul, anything can be healed. Anything. But a lot of people, their emotions are not on board. The body wants to heal, but the emotions are not on board. or the soul wants this to happen for you for a reason. Sometimes, you know, people are born blind or they're born with a deformity or whatever. It's part of the experience the soul wants them to go through, like Gary had to go through the MS and all that sort of thing, because he discovered that the adversity creates greater opportunities for change, for growth. You make huge leaps when you have these challenges and this adversity. So it's possible, not always, but it's possible that your soul wants you to have that because it will help you make huge leaps in growth. But sometimes, quite often, it wants you to let go of this stuff and heal it and stop it for many generations through, you know, the depression, the anxiety, whatever. And so it's kind of like in your face. People come to me sometimes, and Gary too, with pages of problems, physical problems, like, okay, you've got some real stuff going on here. Are you ready to let go of it? And that means changing your mental approach to things, getting out of these patterns of negativity and toxicity that, like we were talking about earlier, I've got so many things to do. I got to do this. That's just programming that needs to go.
Yeah. Well, and it's also in the environment you're in, which is huge when you have somebody recover and they've kicked an addiction or something, and then they go back into the environment where it isn't okay with everyone else that you have done your improvement program, because then that makes you an odd duck. And that's really a challenge, trying to figure out, well, where do I fit now? And so then sometimes there's a relapse because it's like, well, it's difficult to buck the curve or the trend.
And sometimes you need to realize that it might be time to move on, right? That was kind of a hard, I tend to be very, very loyal and like, you know what, this beautiful relationship that you had with this friend served you well then, but it's not serving either one of you now. It's time to move on. It's time to experience something else. So I hand it over to them. Thank you for bringing me someone who supports me, relationships that are bring me joy and fulfillment. Thank you for doing that and helping me be the best partner or whatever it is. Handing it over to them and letting them show me what works and what doesn't work. Because I think a lot of times we think we need to hang on to these relationships, even though they don't, you've outgrown them. I know exactly what you're talking about. I became much more spiritual. I became vegetarian, then I became vegan. And it really turns a lot of people off. They don't know what to do with that. I don't fit in. And I tend to be more isolated. And so they're like, that's okay. My guides are like, we will bring you people that fit you. Let go of that. I mean, but you do it with love, right? But you don't need to be with them all the time. But here's some, because the thing is, as you raise your frequency, as you raise your vibration, it's important to be around other high vibrating people. Eating meat lowers your vibration. People who are negative can lower your vibration, and we're all affecting each other. And even sometimes relationships, long-term relationships, partnerships, it's time to let that go because it doesn't fit me anymore and it doesn't fit them anymore. It's very uncomfortable for both of us.
I think that language, lower your vibration, it's almost like a judgment. And in my interpretation, when we are expanding, evolving, and going outside the whatever limitation we have in our own environment, it doesn't mean that we're judging the people who we were with. It meant that that's where we needed to be, and those people are valuable, and there's nothing wrong. It has to do with a change, a shift, and needing a different form of encouragement, a different form of support, enlightenment, enthusiasm, something like that, rather than saying, because these new age groups, it's very difficult to get around that language of, well, you know, you're negative because you have a lower vibration. Well, if I tell that to somebody that I had, that was a very close friend, and, you know, you have a lower vibration, that makes me, I think, rude. You know, I mean, it's like I'm judging. I'm better because I have this high vibration. And so I think some of that language, I'm hoping we will evolve beyond, because that's our linear thing that assigns a purpose and a value and a label to everything. And getting beyond it says, it's just not the right fit for me. And please forgive me, but I need to go forward. So it's all this stuff of how do we get beyond, you know, this role of saying that everything is bad, so we have to go to the good, when it's just change, because it may not be good for everybody.
Right. I love that you brought that up. I think that's so important, because it's not that there's good or bad, or, you know, what we need the dark as much as we do the light. Embrace the dark in you as much as you, the shadow as much as you do the light. It's all here to serve. But recognizing we're all equal as souls. We're all equal as souls. We're just at different levels of growth and development. And so just because you learned how to run doesn't mean that you judge those who haven't decided they don't even want to crawl yet. It doesn't, that's just where they are. There's nothing wrong with that. So allow them that. I remember one time one of the guys was telling me how people who have addictions, especially drug addictions, it doesn't mean they're not an older evolved soul, that sometimes the older evolved souls choose to come in and maybe experience powerlessness.
Absolutely.
So they may choose to be a drug addict just to experience that. So there's no judging of anything. And that's another thing I love about, I think that the remote outback aboriginals are more in this higher fifth dimensional thinking, and they're showing us what that looks like, how that is lived. They don't have comparisons. They don't have judgment. They don't even have pronouns, possessive pronouns. They don't have possessive words. They don't have that. There's no contest. It's just a whole different way of being, that we're all here as one collective helping each other, and that no soul is more important or better than another.
I wanted to illustrate the healing that you and Gary experienced, and I found a video. It's called The Healing Touch, Indigenous Healers Getting Results. And in one of these demonstrations, the healer works on a woman who, I think she had been in a wheelchair for maybe, well, at least a decade. She had multiple strokes and then was really, at that point, done. And they were looking and somehow found the healers, and she said, well, what have you got to lose? She went there, and you can see the environment, the whole environment. And there's just an acceptance of, you're a human being. And so you see this engagement with them, and then you see the healer work on her. And of course, the way they describe it, their language is, well, we're connected to the light. And so that brings that through. And then you see her get up and walk, and she says, well, she kept saying, get up, get up. And she's like, you know, it's been a decade. She doesn't walk. And she said, well, she just kept saying, get up, get up. And she gets up and she's got tears in her eyes, and she's astounded. She's astonished. She's all sorts of words for, oh my gosh. And she's walking. And she says, now my health problems, I still have some, but she lost, I think, 20 pounds. You know, she said, I didn't stop, because they go back and revisit her after a while, and she visits the healer again. But that's the kind of change that happens when you're able to just, because she was ready to go. She said, I don't have any, I'm done. There's no reason for me to stay unhappy in the body. And then that empowered her to make some huge changes in her body. But the whole thing about it was the acceptance, no judgment, no assignment of an illness, just going forward. And I think you and Gary demonstrate that. I believe that's why your book is so popular. Your books, both of them.
That's part of it. Yeah. To take your, and that's one of their five steps, is the empowerment. Take back your power. Because if that woman had chosen to believe what the many doctors had probably told her, that you'll never walk again, this is the way it's going to be the rest of your life. And the same thing for me. If I had believed what the doctors told me, I never would have survived, you know, and I'm almost 70. I never would have made it to 35 if I had believed what they told me. And so it's taking that power back. They only know what they know. And I'm not negating doctors and the medical community, because they have some wonderful responses and help for us. But recognize the power of the mind. And to sometimes we need to be our best advocate. And deep down, does that really feel right? You know? So realize how powerful that mind is.
Well, it's a label. Once there's a label, then it's like, okay, either you say, that is not my label. I don't know where you came up with it. It is not my label, and I'm going to change it. Or, you know, that's a different way of empowerment, is saying that maybe the label today, but it's not my label for life.
Yep, that's right. That's right.
You haven't addressed your own health issue, because that's really pretty crucial in this too. This is where you came from. And when you're saying you wouldn't have lived, can you kind of refresh?
Well, when I delivered my son back in 85, I was given a blood transfusion, because it was like a 36-hour delivery. And it was pretty rough, and I lost a lot of blood. And so they gave me a blood transfusion that had hepatitis C in it. And at that point, they didn't even know about hepatitis C. They just called it non-A, non-B. So the hepatitis almost killed me. And then the experimental treatment they put me on almost killed me. So I almost died twice. And I kept surviving incredibly slim odds. And I just couldn't understand, why have I survived what few people would have survived? And that put me on this path of healing. And I started, I mean, I was in bed, I don't remember, but it might have been like 6 to 8 months. I mean, I could not even get out of bed. And I started going down the path, not knowing this was what the Aboriginal people were teaching us, where recognizing where the mind was involved. I was into that. Oh my gosh, Wendy, I was driving in the fast lane, couldn't drive fast enough, right? People get out of my way. I got stuff to do. I'm working 60, 80 hours a week, raising a child. It was insanity, but was what everybody else was doing that was around me. So I didn't think that was crazy. And so the body just crashed a couple times. So I just slowly followed that guidance, that internal guidance, and got my health back. And the doctors couldn't believe that. And they would test me saying, well, okay, so you got your health back, but you always will have hepatitis C. There's no way we can cure that. And sure enough, they tested me every year at the university. They were doing a lot of the research here in Seattle, Washington, and I didn't have it. And they didn't know how that happened. I knew how it happened, but I didn't think that the doctors were ready to hear about it. But that's what put me, the nurses, yes, but not the doctors. But that's what put me on this path of waking people up on a how to heal at that time what seemed impossible to heal. I not only survived, I was thriving and very healthy. And so I became passionate about waking people up how to do that. And that's what put me on that path. And then I met Gary down the road and realized, oh, I was doing what the Aboriginal people were teaching us. And then when he passed in 2007, I started waking up to, I can communicate with him from the other side, and waking up to, oh my gosh, this makes a huge difference in my life. It's a big game changer. I'm not doing this alone. I have a tremendous amount of help. And that really shifted me even more so. So I came from this really strong conservative Catholic, you know, Midwest upbringing to, I'm not going to call it woo woo because that just negates it. It's just much more awakened, higher consciousness about what's really going on. And I had to do that through personal experience because people, if you've gone through it, then they recognize, you know, you've got something they can relate to.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a difference when you actually, you know, the speed bumps, you know, the hurdles, you know, the fail safe to get you past it, which is sometimes what you need, because all of a sudden you hit a roadblock, a speed bump, or something in your life happens to give a train wreck. You know, you hadn't intended that, and then everything relapses. It's just, that's the whole thing. And there's constant change and reassessment. And as long as you have a fail safe, you know, your get out of jail free card, then you can, oh, okay, I'm ready for this. I'm ready for this. And sometimes it's your spirit guide saying, and this too shall pass. They're good at that.
Yes, yes, yes. And we'd love to help you. We'd love to help you, but we need you to ask.
Get your hand off the wheel. Just quit it.
I know.
Well, and that the part of it, though, is the control and that fear of if I'm not in control, then something will go wrong. And so letting go for the first time and saying, trust, I will allow this to happen and I'll see how it goes. And then go from there. Sometimes it's, you know, it's that baby step of being willing to suspend your disbelief and allow things to play out like you did with the house. That's sometimes those things are really hard to do because you've got it in your mind. I've got to do this. This is the money. This is the bank. This is how it works. Everybody wants me there and I'm going to do that. But it's not really about you.
Right. But I think what happens, Wendy, is that you and I have seen enough over the time to start developing that trust. Because it's like, oh, that's how I first started doing it, is I started keeping track of all these things that are happening that are just crazy coincidences and synchronicities, right?
Yeah.
And you start writing these down and you realize, oh, I am definitely getting help from the other side. Because a lot of times we dismiss it or we don't recognize it. At some point you're like, oh, this is just, there's just no way you can talk yourself out of this. There's just no way. So I think the difference that I have with maybe some people who are just starting out in this is I've seen enough now that there's no way I don't trust. Mm-hmm. I've just seen too much over and over with people who I've talked to, the team has helped. It's just, you develop that trust. So like, I love that you said baby steps. And then again, thank you for helping me develop that trust. Thank you for helping me get really good at this. Thank you for helping me release whatever is blocking me or holding me back. Thank you. You don't even have to know what it is.
There's other things too that help for people who learn kinetically and writing, journaling, writing your dreams down, because then you can connect, oh, I dreamed about this, or I dreamed something that relates to it and will help me. And those words that you get in the middle of the night or just before you wake up, those moments of clarity and of insight, it helps to write them down, because then you can go back and you've got a track record.
I agree with you. I think that's a fabulous way to do it. And I did that for a while too, until it's like, at some point you're like, okay, I get it.
Yeah.
I get it.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and that's the thing. Everybody has to figure out a way to make this concrete in their own life.
Yeah.
And whether that's a friend, or, you know, it's a support system, or books, or knowing, you know, a certain time of the day, you're going to hear from somebody special, 8 a.m.
Yeah. And you know, and again, 8 a.m., that's right. That's right. And,
I love
it. And they, again, you don't have to figure it out, quote unquote. You just hand it over and allow them to guide you to that, where all of a sudden you'll just get this, you know, I think I'm going to start keeping a journal. You just feel that desire. You just feel that intention, or somebody gives you a beautiful journal. It's just let them guide you on how best to do that. And it's a process. You know, you might find this works for me, this doesn't. You know, I never was really, I know journaling is very effective, and my guides were always encouraging me to journal, but I never really could get into it. So it's like, okay, fine, then what else you got, right? We're working as a team here. What else you got?
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Then they, you know, they got really good at popping song lyrics in my head, or changing the playing music through. It was such a powerful way for Gary to communicate to me. He'd throw our songs on that were our songs, right? When I needed them most, when I needed comforting or whatever, to know that he's there. You work together.
Yeah.
And you still maintain your choices, but you find that what they're guiding you to, there's a difference between what the mind wants and a higher, healthier choice.
There's a woman,
and they'll help you want that.
I was going to say, there's a woman I know who did the very same thing. She lost her husband, and the thing that she was astounded by was his ability to program her playlist, because these were songs that were not in her little queue.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden they were special songs for them. And it wouldn't be just one. It'd be, you know, a playlist.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden here these songs would come on. And she says, how does he do that?
Yeah, I know.
You know,
but if you realize that we're in a third dimension, sometimes fourth dimensional frequency vibration, they're operating much, much higher than that. This is child's play for them. Mm-hmm. It is so easy for them to manipulate computers and phones and Pandora or Spotify. This is why they have laws and rules, spiritual laws and rules that they need to abide by, because we are like children in so many ways. So they have to have permission. They have to do it according to, you know, love, and according to the soul's intention. And this is why they need to follow those rules too. So we may want them to appear to us at 4 a.m. or whatever and wake us up from a dream or whatever, but they have to go by what is they're allowed to do. But they are allowed to help tremendously, especially with these beautiful things like getting rid of fears, moving into love more often. I love those assignments.
Do you ever work with people who do have issues with ghosts or anything like that?
I'll tell you one thing. This is what's quite interesting. I work with people all over the world, all different ages, and it used to be a lot of just women, middle-aged women. Now I'm getting men. Now I'm getting people younger and younger all the time, because they're coming in quite different. They're coming in incredibly gifted. They're coming in where they can see a lot. I've also had a lot of people who were able to see the other side of the veil. They have that ability, and it's quite often passed down, and they were very afraid of it. You know, they shut it down because, you know, grandpa got locked up for that, you know, or they put him in a mental institution. So a lot of them are very afraid of those abilities. So yes, it's time. You have that gift on purpose. Now let's open it, but let's do it in a safe way with loving guides and angels who are here to protect you and also help you, serve you in that way. But there are sometimes, not very often, but there are some people who have dark entities attached to them. That doesn't happen that often. And my team knew how to handle that. My team would work with that.
Yeah.
So I just, you know, that's not something that I would consciously do. But as a member of the team, I felt like I was a human member of the team, where I could tell them what they needed to do, or guide them on how to do that. But that's, you know, I don't think people need to be afraid about that with communicating. If you're doing it with love and you're doing it communicating deliberately, that's what the guardian angels are there. They're there to make sure that you don't have these dark beings. And if you're going to hang out with a lot of heavy drug addiction or heavy alcoholism in a lot of dark alleys, you are more susceptible to that. But they also do a tremendous amount of protection. And so that's where I follow their guidance. And they help me stay under the radar in certain places where I need to be.
Yeah. It was so funny when I first started, like a couple decades ago or something, with this happening, I said, I don't want to see dead people. No dead people. And so the response was,
I know.
They're not dead, they're energy. Basically, in other words,
yes.
get over it,
yes.
You know, and it's like,
yes.
But I was like, oh no,
yeah.
No dead people, no. But I did see, then I saw orbs and beautiful, you know, circular, they're kind of transparent and
yeah.
Yet the color is there. And so I would see that. It was like, oh, well, okay, I can deal with that.
yeah, that beautiful golden glimmer, rainbow color. Yeah, that's what I can do. And again, if you're supposed to see that, which very few people are, you ask them, well, let's take it, but really slowly and gently.
Yeah.
And I don't want to be afraid. So that you work together. You work together with your team. You work together with your angel.
The thing is, too, once you're aware that you have help, then it makes sense when you hear a voice that says run, or you hear, you know, then, you know,
yes.
They're just there.
Or Wendy. Yes.
Yeah.
It's saying hi to you.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, yeah. I knew because of the that morning what we were doing.
Yeah.
And that was like, okay, this is the Aboriginal. This is the calling card.
Yep.
Hi, we're here. Yep. We know what you're up to. Cool.
I know. I love that. I love that.
But it was beautiful.
Yeah.
It was a beautiful melodic woman's voice. And I thought, oh, it was, you know, it felt warm. It felt that whole mm-hmm. thing was positive. And that was the day I had the interview with you that first time. And I'm like, okay, here it is. So the telepathy was demonstrated. And I have other experiences like that. But when it's significant, you can usually tag it to a certain event that's happening. And there'll be, you know, you can identify these kinds of things. But again, baby steps, you know, some people are born, they already have this stuff worked out. Others are learning, and others are perfecting.
Yeah, you know? And it's so interesting. Like I was saying, the younger people are coming in with pronounced abilities. It's just off the charts. It's not anything we've seen, and they're coming in younger and younger. 17, 18, they're calling me for a consultation. I know I have these abilities, but I don't know what to do.
Yes.
I don't know what to do with it, right?
Yeah.
And this is where, you work together as a team player. Work together as a team player. Let them guide you and show you what to do with those abilities, because you have it for a reason.
See, I think that's reincarnation, that we have gone this program 2 or 3 or 4 or 5 or 10 times, and now we come back in, instead of forgetting everything, knowing, because it's time to take it to the next level. So I believe this is just an example of what happens when we incarnate and then continue to improve and refine our abilities to come in the next time even more aware.
Yeah.
No bad, no good, no better, no perfect. Just this is a process, and everybody is evolving.
Right. And aware what the mind has been programmed and how to use it as a powerful tool instead of it controlling you and making you sick.
Yeah.
Right. And getting you stuck in this negativity. Yeah. It's time.
I like the Fast Car song that they played at the Grammys. Okay. And talking about how I want to fit in, you know, there's a thing that we all have, wanting to find our group, wanting to find our purpose, wanting to find why we're here. Everybody is part of that. And no matter what you feel in this moment, you're here for a reason. And so that's the thing, if everybody has value. And sometimes, like, it took how many decades for that to come full circle?
Yeah.
And Tracy Chapman to be acknowledged because somebody younger came along and said, this is really cool. We're all a part of this. And this is how it works. Sometimes you won't be alive when you see that something you did made a difference. But take it for granted that there's a reason for all of us, and we all have value. And I really think that's what the Aboriginal Secrets of Healing offers, is that there's a reason,
absolutely,
a purpose, and value. And the spirit aspect is huge.
Yeah, huge, huge. And that's what we're waking up to. Yep.
Are you still doing work with people remotely? What?
I don't do consultations or online. What I've kind of done is prepared all that information so that it's available to people. If they go to holeswellness.com, there's a lot of free information. There's a lot of info that will help people in different areas. There's an online healing course from the Aboriginal healing steps. There are books on Aboriginal healing, on awakening, and on how to communicate with your guides and angels, the vibrant living, the angels in waiting. So it's really about healing and also expanding and working with help from the other side. So we made it available so I can just step back and let the information's there now.
You can push autopilot.
Yeah. Well, they got me doing other stuff, right? It's so interesting. And that's the beautiful part. When you know, thank you for helping me live the highest vision of my soul, or what am I here for? They will guide you. They'll help you with that. And when you do that, as you know, Wendy, because you're doing it, it is just, it's so fulfilling. It's so joyful. When you do what your soul intended for you to do, there's a reason that you have these passions and these interests. It's there designed to guide you in a certain path. And you've been doing it for decades. So thank you for what you've been doing, the service you've been doing to all of us.
We are here for each other. PulseWellness.com, and you can find all the information, Angels in Waiting, how to reach out to your guardian angels and spirit guides, and a whole lot more. And thank you, Robbie.
You're so welcome, Wendy.
Links are in the description for the show. Thanks for listening.